This is Christian Questions.
Robert Henry once said, "Do whatever you do intensely." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we are truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. And Jonathan, you're back.
I'm back.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Where have you been?
On vacation.
And at your son's wedding.
Yes, that's
incredible,
right.
Incredible stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
So good to have you back.
It's nice to be back. And Kathy and Vicky, they did a great job.
Yeah.
In my absence.
We really had, last week especially, was a very, very unusual program. We were talking about coping and teenagers, adolescents, and some of the issues they have to deal with. We had Susan Doctor on with us.
Oh, she did really well.
So
I was very impressed.
Yeah, it really was a very, very important program, and we're glad that we had that opportunity. But what's on tap for today?
All right, Rick, our question this morning is, do I really have to suffer for Christ?
Yep.
And our theme text is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing.
So, the very definition of Christian is one who follows Christ. As Christians, we all know this, and we all agree that it's of paramount importance. So the big question is, what exactly does it mean to follow Christ? What is our life supposed to look like? What does God want from us through Christ? And what does God want for us through Christ?
Is it good questions?
Well, you know what, and those are two different parts. And if we don't look at both of those questions, we're not going to get a really complete answer.
Excellent.
So we really have to focus on what does God want from us,
mm-hmm.
and what does God want for us? Is it different for everyone what God wants from us and for us? How do we know if we're on track? And that's the other big question.
Oh, good point.
All right. So, what role in our lives as a Christian? What role does trouble play? Again, do we really have to suffer for Christ? Suffering sounds like such a I don't know.
You want to run away from suffering.
Yeah, that's right. Who wants to suffer anyway?
On purpose.
Right. So, folks, the topic this morning is, what is our relationship in terms of being Christians? And do we really have to suffer for the sake of Christ? So let's try to figure out how this whole Christian thing works. Let's start, Jonathan, with Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?"
So this is a very pointed scripture, a very pointed teaching of Jesus, to follow, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, to follow Jesus. These are a reset of our personal priorities to the eternal.
So, not the here and now.
No, and that's one of the things about being a Christian that's so very difficult. And, you know, I want to be careful because in talking about suffering for Christ and the cost of Christianity, you don't want to depress anybody.
Right.
Because
discourage. You're right.
Because we're all at different stages of our Christianity. And if you're very young in Christ and you're sort of being introduced to Christ and all of that, I think one of the things you need to really look at is, okay, what does God want for you?
And it's different at different stages.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because he knows how to take care of us when we're young, and he knows the experiences we need as we're older and more mature.
So one of the first things we need to do, folks, as you're listening in this morning, is take a look at yourself and try and figure out, okay, do I see myself as a baby in Christ? As a little child in Christ.
Which is okay.
Right,
if
right.
That's where you are.
Right, right. Good point. As an adolescent in Christ,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or as a grown man, grown woman in Christ.
It makes me think, Rick, how do we live as though we're transformed now? What do we think about? What do we do?
And again, if you're a baby or a little boy in Christ, what you think about and what you do is going to be very different in a lot of ways than if you were full-grown adult.
Good point.
Because you haven't had the experiences yet. So obviously, as we're going through this, we're going to be really approaching this from a mature standpoint, a mature Christian. But obviously, you have to make allowances along the way to be able to grow up.
Good.
All right. So having said all of that, how do we know if we're following from the heart or following in name only? These are hard questions.
They are. These are mirror questions.
Yes, yes. Today is going to be look in the mirror, look hard, look clearly, and whatever it is you see, be honest with yourself and say, okay, now what do I do with it?
Right.
All right. So that's where we want to go. So having said that, let's go to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
See, now one of their trials can be, oh, I listened to Christian questions this morning and they made me depressed.
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
So the first aspect of looking at this Christian sacrifice thing is the idea of trials.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What is the word? What does trial actually mean? Does it mean you're sitting in a courtroom with the judge order in the court, boom, boom? You know,
Rick, it means a putting to proof, or by implication, adversity.
All right. By putting to proof or adversity. So there's a mechanism in place to measure our Christianity, and it's the proving in our daily lives.
How sincere our hearts really are, right?
Right. It's going to show by the tests that you have and your responses to those tests. So, yes, there are tests involved. There's a quiz at the end of the day, you know, I can tell you. So far, what have we seen? Some simple elements of Christianity, Jonathan. We've sort of been rattling through them. What are
right.
they?
Self-denial.
Right.
Self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' footsteps following those. Faith to be proven, and endurance is the result.
So there's all of these things, and, you know, again, when you look at these things, you can kind of get a feel for them as being, well, they're sort of ethereal. They're sort of like concepts. But what do they mean in real, daily, everyday life? When you get up in the morning, when you go to work, or when you go to school, when you talk to people, when your conscience is tested, all of those areas of life are what these actually mean. How do they come out in your everyday life? Not when you go to church on Sunday.
Oh, good point.
Because it's a lot easier to be good, quote unquote, when you do that. But what about the rest of your days and the rest of your weeks? Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about suffering for Christ. Do we really have to suffer for Christ? Our number is 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page. Go to our blog at ChristianQuestions.com.
So what do these provings of faith look like? And first, Jonathan, I think one of the things that we need to understand, and I think that may be in a lot of ways very misunderstood, is becoming a true Christian is a choice, not a reaction.
Ooh.
It's a choice, not a reaction. Let's take a look at some scriptures on that. Luke 14, 25 to 33.
Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
That is a very difficult scripture because that it just sounds un-Jesus-like.
It does. It does not follow his character, does
it? No. So if Jesus' words are, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother and even his own life, he can't be a follower of mine. You say, wait a minute, that's like completely contradictory from the love of God through Christ and forgiveness and all of those things.
But when you understand what the word hate means in the Greek, Rick, it really clears it up.
And what does it mean?
It means to love less. It doesn't actually mean to hate.
Okay. Now, that word, now, it can be used in terms of hate.
Right.
But it also has a very clear-cut definition of to love less.
Yes.
So what Jesus is saying here is, no, don't hate yourself.
Priorities.
Right. That's what he's saying.
Who do you love most?
Right. What is your life going to be about?
Right.
Is it going to be all about you, or is it going to be all about the footstep follower of Christ?
Right.
That is what Jesus is really saying. And he says, you know, in order to be my disciple, you have to put your priorities in the right order.
Right, and a disciple means a learner or a pupil.
So all of us, and this is another interesting part of this thing, is we all never truly grow up. Because we're always learners. We're always pupils.
Especially guys, right?
Yeah, ask our wives. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying it.
Jewel, if you can call in, tell us if Jonathan has grown up yet. We'd love to hear that.
We know the answer already.
So Jesus is saying, put it in perspective. And that's a big thing about the idea of, do we really have to suffer for Christ? What does that mean? Jesus is saying, make sure your priority is, and I'm reminded when Jesus answered the question about, you know, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
This choice to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, requires thought as well as acknowledgement of future challenges. Again, it's not a reaction. We're supposed to think about what it means to become a Christian. When we look at Luke, this is from Luke 14. We're picking up with verse 27.
Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?
See, that, and what an incredibly simple but powerful example Jesus gives. Look, if you're going to build a tower, you're going to build a house, don't you figure out the cost factors and the time factors, and can you finish what you're starting?
Right.
So he's saying, that's what this is. And then we're going to skip down to verse 31.
Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000?
So, again, another example Jesus is using, and he's sending out the message, think about this, think clearly.
So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up his own possessions.
So again, is Jesus saying that none of us should own anything? Is that what he's saying?
Well, this is talking about stewardship, isn't it?
Right.
At the very end.
And we'll touch back on that. But, you know, it's the challenge of building a spiritual life. It's talking about building a tower, okay? And
yes.
It's the challenge of building a spiritual life. That's what I think the tower is representative of. And then there's another challenge of fighting a spiritual enemy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in the building of the spiritual life, you have to say, okay, am I in place to really be able to complete this, to see it through to the end? But the fighting of the enemy, it says, look, you have 10,000 men and you're going to be attacked by 20,000. Are you going to manage this? So he's saying the spiritual enemy is big and strong.
Right.
So think it through in terms of your willingness to dedicate yourself to finding your strength in Christ, to finding all the things necessary to help you do what needs to be done as a Christian.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? Coming up, why are so many Christians confused about what God wants from us and what God wants for us? Let's see what the Bible says. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, our conversation this morning is really focusing on what is the cost of Christianity and what are the benefits of Christianity.
And it depends on our stage in Christ of the experiences that the Lord gives to us.
Typically, now, again, it's not going to be exactly the same in every case, but typically, the older you get in Christ,
more mature,
the more difficult life can potentially become.
Yes, because you're testing is now at a maturer level.
Right, and you're supposed to be able to handle those kinds
right,
of things.
So right.
That's what we're looking at. Let's go to a quick soundbite. This is from David Platt. He wrote the book called Radical, and he says some very, it's a very short soundbite, but he says some very interesting things about our view of the world around us. Let's listen.
If we form Jesus to look like us and be who we want him to be, then even when we gather together and sing our praises and lift our hands, the reality is we are not worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. We are worshiping and singing to ourselves.
Very important point. Quick
wow.
message. If we form Jesus to look like us, when we come together to praise, we're worshiping ourselves, not Jesus. So the point of Christianity is we're supposed to look like Jesus and not make him look like us.
Wow.
If you have a thought.
Simple and right to the point.
It really is. Really is. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. And folks, when you call in, one of the questions I'd love to hear your responses to are, how do you do that? How do you, in a practical sense, in your own Christian life or in your own observations of others' Christian lives, how do you make that a reality to be worshiping and following after Jesus to make yourself look like him and not him look like you?
Christian Questions, a weekly habit that's good for you. Thanks for tuning us in every Sunday morning from 7 to 9. Join our conversation any day and time at ChristianQuestions.com.
So, what does God want from us? We're going to start with from us, then we're going to go to what does he want for us, then we're going to keep going back and forth, back and forth. And first thing, Jonathan, is to be a Christian is to learn to detect and defeat rationalization.
Oh, but we're so good at rationalizing, Rick.
And you know, this can sound like it's not that hard, but this is really one of the hardest things, I think, in all of Christianity. Mark 8, 31-33 is a really good example of this.
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's."
So Jesus is explaining the suffering he's going to go through, and Peter says to him,
No,
you don't have to do that. And Jesus' immediate response is, "Get behind me, Satan. You are rationalizing.
Yes.
You are setting your mind on man's interests, and you're supposed to have your mind on God's interests. This is what I came here to do. Back away. I have work to do."
That's right.
And it's interesting because this is right after Peter proclaims that he is the Messiah.
Yes,
so,
it is.
It's like, wow, how things change so quickly.
Yes, they do.
So what God wants from us is to do what Jesus did here, to see rationalization for what it is.
Spiritual focus, not earthly focus.
And say, this is the direction I have to go. I am not going that direction. It's a hard choice. What does God want from us? That's what he wants, to defeat rationalization. What does he want for us? To use the fight against rationalization to feed our spiritual realization. You've got to go from rationalization to spiritual realization. We are truly different than those around us. That's the bottom line.
Good point.
If you are a Christian, and again, look in the mirror, ask yourself that question. If you are a Christian, then are you different? Can people tell there's a difference between you and others? 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20.
"Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
So if you've been bought with a price, that means you belong to somebody, whoever it is who bought you.
That's right.
Jesus bought us. So you know what? We belong to him if we are Christians, in fact. And Jonathan, you know, later on in the program, we have got some pretty awesome things coming up. We've got somebody calling in. Her name is Leah, and she is a Christian. She's part of the Christian Questions family, as a matter of fact.
Yes, she is.
She recently took a trip to Ghana. Remember, at the beginning of March, we did a program with Homer Montague.
That's right.
And we were talking about his trip to Ghana.
Yes.
And provoking Christianity there. Well, Leah went on that trip. And she is going to be calling in and sharing some stories of individuals that she actually met there who were living their Christian sacrifice. And they're incredible stories. So, folks, you want to stay tuned for that, that call-in. It's just real life experience, and it's really, really, really great, great stuff. So what does God want for us? He wants us to fight rationalization, to feed our spiritual realization. We have to realize that spiritual maturity is always being tested. And again, it's being tested in different ways depending on how mature you are.
That's right.
Okay, so if you're a baby in Christ, that's okay. We're not saying, you know, hurry up and grow up. But we're saying acknowledge where you are and then learn to grow to the next step.
Good.
Okay,
good.
So it's not a pressure that you got to grow up quick. Look, if you've been a baby in Christ for 23 years, then I'd say
it's time to grow up.
Yeah,
okay.
in that case, let's do something about it. But Romans 6, 15 to 18.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
You notice it doesn't talk about it in terms of, well, you know, I think that you might have one foot in being a slave to sin and the other foot in being a slave to righteousness. And I know you're trying to make that little transition.
No.
It says either or.
Right.
And so, and really what that shows you is commitment. Have you made a commitment to step out of sin and into the righteousness of Christ? Because you know what? We have no righteousness. We're sinners. We're sinful.
Of ourselves, yes.
So it's the righteousness of Christ that makes ourselves okay in God's eyes. And see, that's the beauty of it. Because we can be forgiven for all of our wrong thoughts and deeds. And if we're trying to follow in Christ's footsteps, even when we make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
It's okay because we can be forgiven.
That's right.
And move on.
That's right.
Again, folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear your thoughts on what it means to suffer for Christ. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And this would be a great program to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Yes, it would. CQ Rewind, the full edition, is exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.com. It is based on our Sunday morning broadcasts. What it does is it takes these conversations that we have, these two-hour conversations, and puts them on paper.
That's right. So you can read along while you listen to the archive at the same time. It's a great Bible study tool.
All of the scriptures are fully quoted out. There's bonus material.
Graphics, illustrations.
And the whole point of it, folks, is to give you another tool in terms of Bible study, in terms of helping us to be more Christ-like in all that we say and do. It is a free service, again, exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.com. So, what else does God want from us? And I think, Jonathan, the next point we need to discuss is he wants us to stand fearlessly for the sake of the gospel. Now, here's the problem, because most of us are never really truly fearless.
Good point.
All right, so when I say stand fearlessly, I understand from personal experience that when you stand fearlessly, sometimes you are shaking like a leaf inside. Okay, I get that.
Right.
All right.
Good.
Matthew 10, 26 to 31.
Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you have here whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows.
So Jesus is giving his disciples, and this is when he's about to send out the 70, I think, and he's giving them a pep talk.
Sure.
And he says, look, don't be afraid. He says, go out there and speak and preach and be fearless. Now, again, being fearless doesn't mean that you are there's no fear present within you.
Right.
It means that you have fear and you are acting in spite of that fear.
Right. You're pushing through it.
Right. Exactly. And you're using that fear as a motivation to do what it is that is important. So when we say be fearless, it doesn't mean that you're not shaking inside.
Right.
I know all about shaking inside.
Yes.
I really, really do. And
so that's what God wants from us.
Yes, he wants it. And that's hard.
It is.
Because there's the peer pressure, there's the anxiety, there's the what if I can't say it right, there's
right.
all of the self-doubts that come rushing in.
And all of us have different talents and abilities.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes the Lord asks us to stretch and work on an area that we're not comfortable with.
Or he'll take an area that we are comfortable with and really make us work it very hard.
Good point.
So either way, what it is, you're right, there's that fearlessness means in spite of fear. It means, you know, moving forward and having faith that God can overrule. And, you know, a lot of times standing for Christianity and standing for the gospel, it doesn't even have to be done with words.
Good point.
It's what you do. It's where you go.
Good.
Those are the things that people can look at, and they can tell something's different about you by your reaction. What is it that you do with your time, with your extra time? Where do you go? What jokes do you laugh at?
Interesting.
I mean, think about
yeah.
it. All yeah. of these things are part of the application of standing fearlessly for Christ.
Or when you walk in the room, we can't talk about that. So-and-so's here. So... We don't want to bring that up.
Right, and what a great example that is.
That is.
That's an incredible witness of standing for Christ without
and
even
righteousness.
Having to,
sure.
Right, without having to say something.
Yeah.
My wife has had some really incredible examples like that at work. I can talk her into sharing one later. We'll see.
Okay, cool.
But and Jonathan, you know, one really good experience along these lines, very quickly, is when we started with Christian Questions.
Yes.
This was an area we did not have any background in.
No.
I'd never even been in a radio station before we started this.
Right.
And the Lord opened a door, and we walked through. And talk about scared.
Yeah,
remember?
Oh, yeah, you asked me a question. I'm shaking my head.
Yeah.
Like, they can't see your head shake.
Yeah, I had that deer in the headlights feeling. And
yeah.
But the point is, it's okay to be afraid. But
yes.
what do you do with that fear? What does God want for us? He wants from us to stand fearlessly for the sake of the gospel. What does he want for us? To stand having been faithful before God. He wants the result of that stand. Matthew 10:32.
Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven.
You notice Jesus doesn't say there in that scripture, therefore, everyone who is eloquent in explaining what I came to do and who I am and how my life and my sacrifice is going to change the world.
No.
He just says, everyone who confesses me before men.
That's right.
Now, that confession, again, it comes through words, it comes through actions, it comes through thoughts, it comes through geography, where we are.
Good point.
That's all part of our confession, and sometimes you can really see how that really fits in with suffering for Christ, because you don't do what everybody else does. You don't go where everybody else goes, and maybe if you have a propensity to want to do that, maybe all these things aren't bad either.
Right.
That you're
right.
avoiding, but there are higher things.
Spiritual things.
And that's what God wants for us, to plant ourselves in a life of living at a higher, more spiritual, more well-developed level. See, so if we stand for the gospel without fear, and again, we want to make sure we understand, without fear doesn't mean that, you know, we are just firm. You know how they always have it on the movie where the hero just never has any fear?
Yeah.
That's baloney. Everybody has fear in them, and it's okay. But stand anyway. But if we stand, then Jesus in turn stands for us before God.
What a privilege.
It is an incredible thing when you see how all of this fits together. So folks, as we wrap this segment up, we're looking at the idea, things that God wants from us and things that he wants for us. And really what it requires is us to pay attention to what the priorities are and go for them.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? Coming up, are you as a Christian being persecuted? By who? Non-Christians only? Who persecuted Jesus and the disciples? Does history repeat itself? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jonathan, as we proceed through this subject, do we really have to suffer for Christ? I mean, there's so much to talk about. Let's get started. Let's go to the phones. We have Randall.
All right. Yes, we do. Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
And we have Luke 24:46. He said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. A writer once said, it does not matter if the water is warm or cold, you still have to wade through it. For the Christian, suffering is transformed in Christ. For the world, suffering is a disgrace. With Jesus, any problem can be borne with love for God. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The same writer also pointed out that a tree, unlike a flower bouquet, is marked by its life. Branches break. Bark grows over wounds. So it is with a Christian, sharing the tree of the cross, growing strong, and bearing fruit. Psalm 1:3, he is like a tree planted near streams of water that yields its fruit in season.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
I love that second scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:17. It's but a momentary, this momentary light affliction is compared against the eternal weight of glory.
Wow!
It's like comparing a feather with a ton. You know, it's just no comparison.
Right.
So that's something that's really, really important. One of the things, Jonathan, in terms of our Christianity, and again, Randall, thanks so much for the call, is what God wants from us is to withstand persecution with courage. What is persecution?
Well, Rick, it's really like to be pursued, to pursue literally or figuratively.
All right, so now we normally see the word persecution in a very negative way.
Yes.
Okay, or being persecuted for the sake of Christ. But, you know, that same word is used in a very positive way in a couple of places. Romans 12:13 is a good example of that.
Distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. And Rick, the word given is the same word for persecution, to pursue.
So in other words, those of us who are Christians ought to be pursuing hospitality.
Yes.
So in the same way that people can negatively pursue us as Christians, we ought to be pursuing, chasing after, if you will, being hospitable one to another. Let's go to just one more example from Jesus, and we want to go to a real practical example here. We're supposed to be led by example, Jesus' example, John 16:31-33.
Jesus answered them, do you now believe? The hour is coming indeed. It has come when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace in the world. You face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world.
So we are sort of chased after, and that can happen in a lot of different ways. persecution. Trisha, I twisted her arm. Trisha is my wife and our call screener, and she's had some pretty interesting experiences at work in terms of dealing with persecution and so forth. And again, yes, it is persecution. Because, see, persecution, Jonathan, doesn't have to be some big dramatic thing.
No.
It can be small things in life. And Trish, just give us a quick example of your recent experience with your manager and the use of language and so forth.
Okay, I wouldn't categorize this as persecution, but I'm going with this, okay. I work in a place with about 8 employees, and I was on vacation. I had a new manager, so unbeknownst to me, apparently he had a very colorful language. I mean, every other word was
foul.
I mean, it was just very interesting. So while I was away, my old boss plus all the other employees apparently warned him that he couldn't speak like that around me. So I didn't know this. So when I came into work, he was just having really colorful conversations, and everyone came up to me telling me, "We told him not to talk to you about like that around you. We told him, what are you going to do?" So they're all watching me saying, "What are you going to do?" And I'm thinking, oh, great. Okay, so what am I going to do as my new boss? And so he hadn't been speaking to me directly, but then he was speaking to me directly and, you know, just like, oh, my gosh, every other word. So I put my arm around and I said, you know, your mother must have gone through a lot of soap when you were a little boy. And he just burst out laughing. He says, you know, you're right. I says, you're right. He says, you know, I have a dictionary. I'll bring it in. We can choose some other words for you. How does that work? And he just laughed. And that from that day, he just really, and every time he slipped, he would come up to me and apologize. So, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. And then he just talks like a regular person. It's great.
see, that wasn't that hard to talk about, was it? But see, folks, understand your difference. And people expect something different from you. You take a stand, and you take a stand differently, and then they're all watching to see if you're going to stand up for what you said you stand up for.
You're on a platform,
right,
aren't you?
Right, right. And you are in the public eye, if you will.
Yes.
And to be able to accomplish that in a kind and gentle way gets the job done. That's being Christ-like. And yes, that's suffering for Christ's sake, because people look at you as different. Oh, you can't talk like that around her. Everybody else talks that way, but you don't. Why? Because you find it offensive, and you're not afraid to say that. So thanks, Trish. Appreciate it. So if you have a thought, she's back in the other room to answer your calls at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And don't forget to tweet us at Christian Questions Net Radio.
Yeah, there you go. We've got a great Twitter following going with the Kathy. Kathy's our tweet master.
Yes.
Tweety Bird is some people call her. She does a really great job with Twitter. And if you have a question and would like to contact us directly, you can email me at Rick, R-A-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. We all have to go through this, Jonathan. We all suffer from persecution. How do we know? Because 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
And again, persecution doesn't have to be some big thing where somebody's whipping you publicly. It can be the words in private conversations. It can be the way that people talk to you or the way people avoid you.
Or based on your Christian belief, it could be from other Christians seeing things differently.
And that's you say that, you say, really? And the answer is, really. And we don't want that to be, but you know what, folks? Again, let's look in the mirror and make sure we're not persecuting others of our same faith. A specific example of a dramatic persecution. Now, this is a dramatic persecution, Luke 21:12-19.
But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, and governors for my name's sake will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, family, friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish, but your endurance you will gain your lives.
So this scripture really gives a dramatic picture on what persecution is in a heavy sense. So there's light persecution light and persecution heavy. Either way, what are we doing with it? What are we doing about it? Jonathan, want to remind our listeners that coming up in the second hour, we have Leah calling in, and she's going to be talking to us about some real persecution examples, some real Christians that she went to see in Ghana. So, folks, you want to stay with us for that. If we're not on in your area in the second hour, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, and stay with us. Or use the Christian Questions app on your smartphone.
That's right. All you do is type it in.
Type it in at your app store, download the free Christian Questions app, and use it to stay with us for that second hour. I want to go to a soundbite, Jonathan, here about persecution. This is about a Christian called Saeed Abedini, and he is an Iranian-American. He's a Christian pastor who's presently imprisoned in Iran. He was detained in Iran since the summer of 2012 and incarcerated in prison. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison, reportedly on charges of undermining national security through his Christian evangelical activities in Iran. All right, so this is quoting a letter that he wrote to his wife from prison in Iran.
When I heard that empty Christmas settings were placed during Christmas as a reminder of my imprisonment and those in prison for Christ, tears of joy filled my eyes. I was able to share about this with other prisoners, and they were shocked by the love and support we have for each other in Jesus. I told them how in the Bible we are all considered brothers and sisters, despite race, color, or nationality, and we are able to share in each other's pains. This comes from our Lord. The Word of God says that when we are persecuted for our faith, we are to count it all joy. When I think that all of these trials and persecutions are being recorded in heaven for me, my heart is filled with complete joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without the joy of the Lord, we cannot live. It is this joy in our life that gives us strength to continue in this life. Without strength, we cannot continue the work of the Lord, and without joy, there is no strength.
It's just inspiring.
Wow.
When you see that, and you know, that imprisonment is not an easy imprisonment. It's difficult. So what God wants for us, I mean, he wants us to be able to withstand persecution with courage. We've talked about all different kinds of persecution. What he wants for us is to use persecution as a blessing and an inspiration toward pursuit. And that's what Saeed Abedini was just talking about,
mm-hmm.
is using it toward as inspiration. Philippians 3, 12 to 14.
Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
So here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet. I still have to develop. I still have to grow. I still have to change. And he's saying this one thing I do. I am laser focused on moving forward, whatever the circumstances are that come my way. And Jonathan, that is an incredibly profound example of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, having that laser focus of being able to move forward. And persecution can help us become focused. See, it's a choice. You can have it bring you down,
right?
Or you can have it help you focus. You choose. And again, sometimes your maturity level will determine which way you choose.
Good point.
And that helps us understand of what kind of growing we need to do. Blessed for our endurance, another great scripture, Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12.
Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. And it is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
So Jesus is again talking about persecution in a pretty big fashion here. And he's talking about persecution from the standpoint that, look, the prophets before you were also persecuted. Again, they were pursued. Now, Jonathan, in our day, you know, you've got the example of Saeed Abedini, you know, we just heard on a soundbite.
Yes.
In the second hour, Leah Ruggiero is going to be phoning in and talking to us about some real examples in other countries where there is persecution, and it's blatant, and it's obvious, and it's outward.
That's right.
Here in this country, the kind of persecution Christians get is very, very different.
And that's at this time.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it couldn't change.
Right. And at this time, though, a lot of it is subtle. A lot of it is under the surface. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is, again, in the conversations around us, in the peer pressure, in the judgments that happen, but it's not the outward physically beating you down and physically hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more emotional and in terms of how it's presented.
Right.
Doesn't make it any less valuable. So if you're a Christian and you're looking and saying, well, I'm not being persecuted. Yeah, people talk about me all the time and you know, they don't want me to be with them because I won't do the things they do and I won't laugh at the things they laugh at. Yes, then you're suffering for Christ's sake. Good for you. That's what it's about. The question is, how do we continue to suffer for Christ's sake and grow up into a fully mature Christian so that we can really praise and honor God even in our trials? So much more to come in the second hour. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we're talking about suffering for Christ. We've got a special guest calling in the second hour to give some really amazing stories. You don't want to miss them. So until the news and all that is over with, we will be back. Do you really have to suffer for Christ? Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Cecil B. DeMille once said, "The person who makes a success of living is the one who sees his goal steadily and aims for it unswervingly. That is dedication." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, we've got a great subject up on the table for this morning.
We sure do, Rick, and our question is, do I really have to suffer for Christ? And our theme text is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing."
So the theme scripture, which we will be touching on later on in the program, does talk about fiery trials, fiery ordeals. And it says, don't be surprised. That's part of the territory.
Yep.
That's part of what you signed up for. And a lot of times when we think about Christianity, we don't like to think about signing up for that part.
You're right.
We like to think about signing up for the blessing and the fellowship and the praise and all of those things. But if you sign up for Christianity, folks, you sign up for the whole package.
That's right, because our characters need to be developed. They need to be changed to Christ-like.
Right, and we shouldn't be changing Christ to become like us.
Right.
So let's understand what Christ like. Not Christ like us, us like Christ.
Yes.
All right, that's where we really need to go. So in our first hour, we've been talking about the different things that God wants from us and the things that he wants for us. So there's something that we need to give, and then there's something that we receive. And the two are always working together. And one of the things we continually need to give is to be able to understand and accept our life of suffering for Christ or sacrificing for Christ or being different for the sake of Christ. All of those things are included here. So, folks, as we continue with our conversation, if you would like to participate, if you have a thought on what it means to suffer for Christ or an example or scripture or just a question, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Out from the dark ages and into the light of today, join us 24/7 at ChristianQuestions.com.
So, what God wants from us is to understand and to accept suffering. So, suffering. What is suffering? I mean, suffering, you sound like, you know, somebody's got the flu and they're suffering. Somebody's got cancer and they're suffering. Somebody's got, you know, was in a car accident and they're suffering. What does suffering actually mean from a scriptural standpoint?
It means to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful.
All right, so it doesn't have to be painful, but it's the experience of a sensation, a physical sensation, or an emotional or intellectual impression. Mm-hmm. So it really means that our life experiences, we are supposed to suffer, experience them, not for our own sake, but for the sake of Jesus. Now think about that. Jesus, did he need to suffer? I mean, look, he's perfect, right?
Right.
And so he's above and beyond everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Hebrews 5:8.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
That is such a powerful scripture because Jesus learned obedience. Now, do you mean to tell me that he wasn't going to be obedient? I mean, come on. This is Jesus we're talking about.
He always pleased the Father from the beginning of creation.
Right, but as when he came to earth as a man, he had a will of his own.
Right.
And the obedience that he learned was to take that will of his own and make every single aspect of that will in conjunction with the will of his Father to accomplish his mission.
Yes.
That's how he learned obedience, by the things that he suffered. And you can also put in the words by the things that he experienced.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be
That's right.
that you're being hurt by the things that are happening, but it's by you're learning by the experiences that are in your life.
Well, Rick, everyone suffers in this life because
yes.
of sin and death and evil.
Right.
But it's different
yes.
for the followers of Christ.
It should be for different reasons that we suffer.
Right.
And I think that's really what we want to get to here. Matthew 16:21.
For that time from forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day.
So he was explaining to his disciples that there was going to be a heavy-duty level of suffering coming up. Now, interesting thing, Jonathan, Jesus didn't suffer, quote-unquote, every single day of his life.
No.
You know, by suffering we mean, you know, feeling pain and turmoil. He was sacrificing his own will every day, and in many cases it was a joyful experience. He was experiencing being offered up every day of his life. And I think that's the key for us to understand, how are we suffering for Christ? Really, a better way to put it in our own terms is, how are we being offered up every day for Christ? And it doesn't have to hurt to be offered up every day for Christ. I mean, look, let me give you a classic example.
Okay.
Sitting here in the studio on Sunday mornings,
mm-hmm.
there's no suffering happening here. This is one of the most thrilling things I could ever think of doing. But see, this is part of putting your life in line with the service of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's thrilling. It's fun. It's exciting. We love to talk about the gospel being offered up. That's part of it. So, you know, suffering is not always that harsh, harsh experience. It can be a joyful experience as well. Philippians 1:29.
For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake.
So, Jesus obviously had to suffer. And in Philippians 1:29 it says, we obviously have to suffer, have to experience for the sake of Christ. And you were right when you said it, and it bears repeating. Everybody suffers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody experiences things in their lives.
Yes.
But if we are true Christians, the reasons we experience those things, we can experience the exact same thing as a person sitting next to us.
Right.
But the reasons should be different.
And our attitudes
right.
should be different.
They should be different. Suffering has to be for the right reasons and with the right attitude. This next scripture, Jonathan, is a powerful scripture. It's one of those mirror scriptures, but it really puts us in perspective of what suffering for Christ means. 1 Peter 2:19-23.
For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God.
So the example here is really, really clear. If, for the sake of conscience toward God, you bear up under sorrow and you're suffering unjustly, you're being made fun of, you're having pressure put on you because you've taken a stand for Christ,
or someone saying something a lie about you, and it's not true.
Right, right. So saying, okay, that's favorable. And you think, well, you know, do you really need to put up with the pressure, and do you really want to have to deal with it?
Shouldn't I defend myself so that I don't have to deal with that?
Right, right. And what he's saying is that is suffering for Christ. But on the other hand, if you do something wrong and you suffer consequences, what's the big deal? Now, in our world, let me say that we don't know how to suffer consequences for the things we do, so it is a big deal, unfortunately. But it shouldn't be, because that should be a natural reaction to, if I do you wrong and there's a consequence to that, I should accept that and say, you know what, I deserve that consequence.
And listen to what the scripture says after this, though. Oh. This is interesting.
Okay.
For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was in any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return while suffering. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously.
So it's putting us in the context of Jesus as, look, here's a man without sin.
Wow.
And look at how he was reviled. Look at how he was insulted. Look at how he was accused. Look at how he was misused and mistreated and abused.
Yeah.
And saying, that's our template. That's our model. So we, if Jesus could go through those things, we certainly can go through the little things that happen in our lives.
That's absolutely.
Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be getting a call, and you better call now. Calling from Leah Ricciarello. She went on back, I think it was March 1st or 2nd, I don't remember the date exactly. We did a program on what is that in your hand? That was the question. Homer Montague was our guest. He was leading a trip to Ghana, a trip of encouragement to Christians there. And Leah actually went on that trip with Homer.
Wonderful.
And she came home with some amazing stories of suffering for Christ. And she is she lives in Chicago. She's going to be calling in.
And she's part of the Christian Questions family.
Yes, she is. And she does some really great things for us and with us. So we're looking forward to that coming up, folks. You don't want to miss that. If you need to do something else, cancel it and just wait a few minutes. You're really going to love this. So, Jonathan, what does God want from us to understand and accept suffering? What does God want for us to suffer with Christ for a short time, and therefore to be glorified with him eternally? We have to learn to share each other's sufferings. 1 Corinthians 12:26.
And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
So not only is it for a short time when you look at the suffering of our life versus eternity,
right,
but it is a mutual suffering together. That's what it is. It is a suffering together. It is a working together and putting things in perspective together. And then suffering is not as hard to handle. When you've got other hands and other hearts working with you and encouraging you and you know, cheering you on, Jonathan, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Keep it up. We're praying for you.
We need each other, don't we?
We certainly do, in a big, big way. With that in mind, Jonathan, let's go back to the another soundbite from Saeed Abedini. Again, this is a letter from prison when he is in Iran, currently in prison, suffering for the sake of Christ. He was put in prison because he was a former Muslim. He converted to Christianity, and he was preaching the gospel, and they didn't like it. So, I mean, think about that.
Wow.
Think about, and the theme of this soundbite is steel under pressure. Listen.
I always wanted God to make me a godly man. I did not realize that in order to become a godly man, we need to become like steel under pressure. It is a hard process of warm and cold to make steel. This is the process in my life today. One day I am told I will be freed and allowed to see my family and kids on Christmas, which was a lie. And the next day I am told I will hang for my faith in Jesus. One day there are intense pains after beatings and interrogations. The next day they are nice to you and offer you candy. These hot and cold days only make you a man of steel for moving forward and expanding his kingdom. I am looking forward to the day I can see all of you who are behind me with your prayers and to embrace you in my arms. Thank you for the love you have shown me.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Now see, situations like that, he said, you know, these things serve to make you stronger in Christ and to create the steel. Those things are supposed to serve to break you down.
They are.
But he takes the experience and he applies it a different way. And that's one of the secrets of suffering for the sake of Christ. Suffering for Christ, Jonathan, is a family trait. That is something that we all should share together. Romans 8, 14 to 18.
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
So this is talking in sweeping generality of all led by the Spirit of God, our children of God together. We all share together. Let's finish up that scripture before the break.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us.
So God wants from us to understand and accept suffering, and he wants for us to realize that suffering, though it can be intense, is for a short time, and eternity waits on the other end of it. And that is a trade-off that we should be willing to take every day.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? Coming up, Leah Ricciarello sharing three inspirational stories of real Christians and real sacrifice from her trip from Ghana. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, do I really have to suffer for Christ? To be a part of our program, call 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, for this segment, we have a special guest on the line with us, Leah Ricciarello. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, Rick and Jonathan.
How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Okay, so I got a quick question for you. Have you ever been on the radio before?
No, I haven't.
Well, this is cool. So, Leah, we're talking today about Christian sacrifice and suffering for Christ, and we've mentioned several times that you went on a trip with Homer Montague back in April, I think it was, to Ghana. First of all, before we get into the trip to Ghana, who are you? Where do you come from? What kind of work do you do? Just give us a quick little background on yourself.
Yeah, my name is Leah. I'm 29 years old. I live in Chicago. I'm a physical therapist at the University of Illinois. So that's kind of what I do. What I do by day, and then I'm very active with my church, and in April I had this opportunity to go to Ghana with with Homer Montague and his organization to help out with this leadership seminar. So in the seminar, those who attended were mainly church leaders who were sponsored by a religious organization to fly from, all over Africa and other neighboring countries.
So about how many countries were represented? Do you know offhand?
There's probably at least, 12 or 15 countries. Okay. I know there's about 120 who attended.
Wow, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're there, and you're going there to help out. Now, you'd never been to Ghana before?
Correct. I've never been to Ghana, I don't really have any good leadership experience. I thought, what am I supposed to be doing there? And really, things work very differently in Africa, so I learned very quickly that I was there to just help with anything that was needed, and this was anything from putting together name tags to, being the photographer to having religious discussions with people. It was kind of I just did a lot of, kind of different things to just help the seminar run a little bit more smoothly.
Okay, so you're there, you're helping out, and we want to get into these stories of some individuals that you met and their personal experiences and their experiences of sacrifice. So as a backdrop for that, we've been talking about through our program what God wants from us and he wants for us. One of the things God wants from us is to be buried with Jesus in baptism of his death and therefore to walk in a new life. And Jonathan, let's just touch on Romans 6, 3 to 7, and then we're going to give Leah ground to begin telling these stories.
Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we may no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin.
So, Leah, this scripture, I wanted to use this scripture as a backdrop for your stories, because it's talking about being buried with Jesus and putting yourself aside and putting Jesus in that place. So let's get started. You went there. You obviously learned a whole lot of stuff, and hopefully we'll be able to touch on that in a moment. But let's get started. First of your three stories. Let's go.
Okay, so one individual there who was from Pakistan. He and his family actually converted to Christianity several years earlier, and now he was here in Ghana participating in this leadership seminar. Well, Pakistan is a country that's, 95% to 97% Muslim. The rest, I believe, are Hindu and then Christian. Well, if you're not Muslim in Pakistan, it's very obvious, mainly because Muslims openly pray 5 times a day, even when they're at work. And if you're not Muslim, you're physically persecuted, kind of like some of those stories that you were sharing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually exists. I've heard about this, but, it was, and I had a little firsthand experience. Well, this man, he was telling us some of the stories. He's been horribly beaten by just mobs of angry Muslims. He's been fired from his job for being a Christian. And that kind of thing is acceptable over there. You'd never see that here. His kids are ridiculed and picked on at school for being Christian. Well, most people in Pakistan who, if they do convert to Christianity, will eventually flee the country for Thailand or Sri Lanka to escape this religious persecution.
So, hang on a second. So let's get this straight. So this guy's been beaten up. He's lost jobs. His kids are even persecuted. Do you know the approximate age of his kids offhand or no?
I believe they were 12 and 14 years old.
Okay, so these are they're kids, and they're growing up, and you're in this dramatic minority. I mean, you said 97% is Muslim, and then
right.
You've got Hindu, and so Christianity is even smaller than that, I would presume.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, all right, so that sets the context. Continue.
Yeah, so then, he's telling us this story, and we finally just, ask, well, if other people are leaving, why don't you and your family do the same? Why don't you leave this country? And his response was almost immediate, and he says, if I leave, who's going to preach the gospel of Christ? And I just kind of sat there and stared like, you've got to be kidding me. If this was me, I'd be out of there so fast out of fear of being physically hurt. This man and his family, they suffer physically, socially, and financially every day, and they do so in the name of Christ. And I've never seen that kind of faith before, the kind that's willing to endure these things to help really spread the gospel, because we don't have these things here.
So let me ask you then, you hear him say that now, and you said he answered immediately. I mean, it sounds to me, I mean, was he very, really, really calm in his explanation of this? Was it, a very intense thing for him? What was his demeanor?
He was quite calm, and it seemed like this is very likely been going on for several years. He's used to it. This is just his new life. This is his life. This is his family's life. This is what they will live until they die.
Yeah. So, folks, understand, and Leah, you really hit it on the head. We played those sound bites from the Christian minister who's in prison in Iran, and you hear about it. And when you hear about something, you say, "Oh, that's really terrible." But you had the opportunity to meet somebody who's actually living that, and there's a big difference in that, isn't there?
Correct. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the first example, an individual who is suffering daily for what he believes. He's not trying to be obvious and overbearing, I don't assume, but he's just existing, and because he exists with the belief system he has, he is suffering as a result. So
Correct. That's
the first story, and folks, again, here in America, we don't have that kind of persecution. Now, it doesn't mean to say that it might not happen in the future.
Right, right.
But we don't have that now. So for us to see this is dramatic because you hear about it, but now you can actually, it's much more tangible. Okay, so that's the first story. Go on to your second one.
So the next man was actually someone who I didn't actually meet. He was supposed to come to the seminar. He's from Tanzania, which is part of Eastern Africa, just south of Kenya. He also used to be Muslim, but he also recently converted to Christianity. You know, Tanzania doesn't have quite the population of Muslims as Pakistan does, but like the gentleman from Pakistan, he suffered quite a bit for openly converting to Christianity. And actually, the main reason he wasn't able to make it to the seminar was because members of his family, his own family, who are still Muslim, actually burned his house down for being a Christian. So he stayed home so that he could try to start rebuilding his house.
So
of his own family.
Let's pause and consider this for a minute, because to me that is a dramatic. You know, you almost don't believe that members of your own family, because of a religious difference, actually burned down his house.
Correct. He lost just about everything. So they were taking collections for him to send for donations, so he could help him start rebuilding his house.
And so he was scheduled to come to the seminar, but couldn't because he has to rebuild his home. Folks, look, understand, these are dramatic examples. These are real people who have taken a stand. And Jonathan, you know, we've been talking through the program about you know, maturity levels.
Yes.
You know, starting out as a baby in Christ and, you know, moving up through.
Wow.
And you think about the maturity that these individuals must have to be able to go through these sufferings.
Absolutely.
And in the context of all of this, you know, it's what we're saying, what does God want from us? And it's to be buried with Jesus in baptism of his death. Well, what does God want for us? He wants us to live a new and transformed life as a new creature in Christ. And what we're seeing, in your stories, is we're seeing the being buried in baptism and the leading of a transformed life.
That reminds me of Romans 12, 1 and 2, Rick.
Yeah, it talks about the transformation and,
exactly.
and the living sacrifice.
Yes.
So, Leah, you didn't meet this individual, but his story was very obvious. And did he have a family, do you know?
I believe he had a few kids, but I'm not sure what their ages were.
Okay. All right, so that's the second story. So we have the first one who just suffers continual persecution, loss of job, loss of favor, physical abuse, he and his children, and yet he won't leave Pakistan because he wants to stand for the gospel of Christ. We have this other individual, this other brother in Tanzania, whose house is burned down by family members because of a religious difference. And what's the third story?
So the third one is, I actually thought this was a really kind of a neat and amazing story, almost reminded me of a modern-day Apostle Paul.
Okay.
Well, this man, he was from Ghana. He also used to be Muslim, and in fact, he used to be a very high-ranking official in his organization, and they actively participated and sought ways to persecute Christians. So he started researching Christianity more because he wanted to find reasons to persecute and physically to harm Christians.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. All right. So you're right. You really are paralleling the Apostle Paul. He's looking for a way to make Christians'
wow.
lives unbearable. As
Correct.
As a Muslim, that's what his objective was. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And so when he started researching Christianity in this quest to expose Christianity, he actually started to believe some of the teachings, and he eventually converted to Christianity. So I'm not sure of his experiences afterwards, because he didn't really wish to discuss them, although I can't help but assume he went through some of the same persecutions as the others did. But, yeah, now his family, they're still Muslim, but now he's part of a Christian organization, and he was attending this leadership seminar in Ghana.
So was he an older man, a younger man?
He was probably in about his mid-50s, quiet gentleman.
So very, younger, very younger, Rick.
Yeah, younger.
A little younger. Bit younger.
Younger, mid-50s. Yeah, younger. That's good. Now, to you, Leah, that night, you might not understand that, but trust me, okay? So you have this third example, then, of somebody who was literally engaged in the destruction of Christianity, researched it to figure out what the hot spots could be, so to speak, and finding out that there was something there worth living for and essentially dying for.
Mm-hmm.
So this is amazing. It's amazing because, Jonathan, we don't see that in our everyday
lives.
No,
we don't.
And in your experience, Leah, going to Ghana, first of all, how long were you there?
I was only there about a week or week and a half.
Okay.
So not very long.
Okay, so you and you certainly got an earful in terms of just sort of an enlightenment, if you will.
How did it change your perspective based on learning about these individuals?
Okay, before you begin to answer this, Leah, what's probably going to happen is you're going to start answering, or I'm probably going to have to interrupt you because we're going to come up for a break. But I want, if you can't stay with us, because we want to be able to finish. But be really specific if you can. You know, we're talking about our theme today is Christian sacrifice. And now, you went there wanting to serve God and serve the Lord Jesus, right?
Correct.
And, I mean, how long have you been, had that in your mind to live your life in dedication to Christ? For how many years?
You know, I was raised as a Christian. My parents are very active in our church, so it's always been the center of my life. And then when I was 19, so about 10 years ago, I decided to be baptized and spend the rest of my life serving Christ in the gospel.
So for 10 years now, you've been focusing on what it means to serve Christ and to sacrifice and all of that. Did the experience in Ghana change that perception of what sacrifice and service is?
Oh, absolutely. You know, after hearing some of these stories, I thought, man, I have no idea what it means to suffer. I think my little trials here are difficult. It was very good for me to hear some of these stories. You know, very, very humbling, you know, because I don't know if I was in those situations, I don't know if I could do the same thing, you know. So it was quite humbling to think that I might not be able to do the same thing as them, but that this is now my obligation, that if something like this did present itself, I'd be obligated to respond in a way that these men did and do every day. So I was very appreciative to hear these stories. I'm very thankful that I don't have to go through these things living in this country. I think more thankful than anything, and as you know, it's a very good reminder to me of what is important in this life.
All right. Leah, I want you to hold on. We're going to need to go into a break in a second, and I just want to wrap up with you in the next segment. Folks, look, this helps us to grab hold, really physically see and feel what suffering for Christ really is. This is a valuable experience, and folks, you want to stay with us for the last segment. We're going to finish up with Leah and then finish up the discussion on sacrifice.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick with our special guest Leah Ricciarello, and our subject is, do I really have to suffer for Christ? Much more to come from Leah, and also talking about reproach and tribulation. Are they different? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick with our special guest Leah Ricciarello, and our subject is, do I really have to suffer for Christ? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, in the last segment, we've been listening to Leah tell us three very specific stories that she experienced in her trip to Ghana this past April. And just observing true Christian sacrifice.
Mm.
And, you know, when you meet somebody who does it, it's a whole lot different than talking and reading about
it. That's right, or hearing about it.
Right, right. So Leah, just as we wrap this up, I want to go back to Jonathan's question to you. And has something changed in you since that trip?
You know, I don't know about any huge drastic changes. I think that these experiences have just continued to help shape my Christian character and kind of mold the way that I view the world and I view my own Christianity. So I think when I heard all these stories, the first thing that I thought of was how thankful I am and how appreciative I am to live in this country. You know, everybody gives Obama a hard time, and myself included, we do a lot of complaining about how this world should be, but most of us really have no idea how the rest of the world truly lives. You know, we think in America this is normal. This is not normal. Most of the world does not live this well. So I think the first thing it made me was very thankful that I have the opportunity, that I had the opportunity to be born here. Because many of those people, no matter how hard they work, will never get out of those circumstances. But also as a Christian, it was good to see those who had such strong faith be willing to live this way. And I thought, you know, I might not have the, if you want to call it opportunity, or I might have not have the chance or experience, I guess, to physically suffer a physical
persecution. Yeah, the circumstances,
for being,
right.
Right. I might not ever have those experiences, but Christians, even in the United States, have different experiences. And I think I'm going to, you know, try from here on out, when I do have difficult experiences, to remember the strength of those that I've seen over in these other countries, and remember those when I'm trying to go through my own trials and circumstances, no matter what they are. If it's something, you know, a small experience at work to a life-changing event, I tell myself that if the Lord can help these brethren go through these horribly physical, awful conditions, then He can help me get through whatever little or big trial that I have going on in my life here. So it was quite a faith strengthener to know that with the Lord's help, I can get through any trial and any circumstance that He allows in my life. And it also, you know, shows me that this is what these guys are doing. I gotta step it up a little bit. You know, there's work to be done. you know, so, and I think here too, we have such good opportunities and we have everything at our disposal in terms of technology and resources, you know. What's the phrase? To those who have been given much, much is required.
Yes.
So the fact is, I have been provided much, much, much more than many of these people who, not even the ones that I talked about, but even many of the just the people that I met in Ghana, they have almost nothing. I have I really have so much more compared to them. But if that's the case, then there's a lot more that's required out of me. So, you know, while I do some services, I think it will never be enough, you know.
Well, but I tell you what, Leah, I mean, you really, really nailed it down, using those experiences as tremendous inspiration, and get up and go to work and do the things you need to do. And just in closing with you here, you do work with us. You volunteer your time for Christian Questions. And what kinds of things do you do to help us? I mean, I know what they are, but the public doesn't.
Yeah, I do a few little things. So I help out a little bit with the Christian Questions Rewind. So Julie and every so often Jewel will do the transcriptions, and then they send it out to a little group of us who we do the proofreading. So I just read through it every week, make sure there's no spelling or grammar mistakes and things like that. So that's one of the things that I do. And then we have this kind of newer project that we're working on. It's a little slow going, but we're trying to start. We've started like a little YouTube channel, and we have a few videos up there just on different Christian topics.
What's the YouTube channel?
What is the YouTube channel? Oh, that's a good question. I don't remember the.
That's all right.
I don't remember the link off the top of my head.
That's all right.
But well, my job with that, because I really don't know much about technology, is my friend and I will write scripts for the videos, and then we send them to somebody else, and then he, who has experience in video editing and technology, actually physically makes the videos and then puts them on this YouTube site. So the idea is just to get more of the truth message out there in a way that, you know, maybe even younger people are going to see it and benefit from it.
All right, so you see, folks, you know, the old guys like Jonathan and I, the 50-somethings.
We're still young.
We're talking on the radio, and we're talking to you about the message of the gospel. But we have employed, via volunteer work, Leah and several others to work on communication for the next generation, because it's a different method of communication, and they're developing those YouTubes, and more to be coming on that. Leah, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. This was great.
And we will certainly be in touch. God bless you in your work and your experiences.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
I know.
I mean, you can hear her. She's like bubbling over, and then there's this, and then there's that. And folks, see, understand, you know, that's part of Christian sacrifice and suffering. You know, she's 29 years old. She's got her whole life in front of her. And what's the most important thing? It's the love of God through Christ. It's serving where we can serve. What an incredible example. Folks, take it to heart. And Jonathan, what we're really talking about here is radical radical obedience. Now, look, when you use the word radical in these days, you got to be careful because I'm using it in the very most positive sense, okay? Let me just be clear on that. In radical obedience to Christ, let's go back to the soundbite from David Platt from his book Radical, because this is, again, very short, but it's really talking about obedience and urgency.
We have a master who demands radical obedience. A mission that warrants radical urgency. And we do not have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream.
We don't have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream. Leah nailed that down.
Oh, she did.
In terms of what we have here available to us, and because we have so much, that ought to mean so much more is required of us.
For preaching the gospel.
Let's get to work. That's all we've got to say. So, Jonathan, as we begin to put this all together, this final segment, we want to touch on reproach and tribulation. What does that mean? What does reproach mean?
To defame, rail at, chide or taunt.
Okay, defaming. When you defame somebody, you're attacking their reputation.
Right.
You're slandering them. You're taunting them.
It's what the scribes and Pharisees did to Jesus on the cross. They were just constantly doing that to him.
Right. And what does it mean to suffer a tribulation?
Pressure.
Tribulation literally means pressure.
It does.
And Leah's story is really spoke to us about pressure.
Oh, yes.
So let's take a look at some scriptures that show us this is what God wants from us. He wants us to withstand the onslaughts of reproach, defaming, taunting, and so forth, and pressure. That's what he wants from us. Matthew 5:11 is a good scripture.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
And again, that goes back to the three experiences that Leah was relating to us. Evil falsely against you for my sake.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if we're being spoken evilly of because we've done evil, there's
shame
no,
on us.
Exactly. Best way to put it. Shame on us. And again, 1 Peter 4:12-16.
Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation.
And we touched on this earlier in the program, but you know, you got to come back to it. This is our theme scripture. This is something that's so important. Don't be surprised, fiery ordeals, they may be defaming, they mean suffering, they may be persecution, whatever they are, they're there to help us to rejoice. And let's finish up the text.
If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name.
So it really puts in perspective, do we really have to suffer for Christ? And this might sound odd, not only do we have to suffer for Christ, but we should look forward to suffering for Christ. Now, look, nobody looks forward to having their house burned down.
No.
Okay, nobody looks forward to physical beatings.
No, they don't.
We don't look forward to that, but what we look forward to is the growth and the opportunity that comes if we are suffering for Christ. Not suffering for the things that we do, but suffering for Christ. There's wonderful opportunity in that. And when people are speaking badly of you and poorly of you because of that, well, then that's part of suffering for Christ. Just quickly, Jonathan, on tribulation, we don't have a lot of time here. Let's go to John 16:33.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
So Jesus, in his last night before his crucifixion, he is giving his disciples all of the things that they will need so they can have peace.
Peace. Wow.
Because they're going to have tribulation. They're going to have pressure. They're going to have defamings and chidings and tauntings. They're going to have sufferings. They're going to have persecution. They're going to have trial. They're going to have difficulties. They're going to have challenges. But Jesus says, I've spoken these things to you so that you might have peace. through all of that, the thread that runs from beginning to end is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is the meaning of suffering for Christ. What God wants for us is a tested faith that's more valuable than gold, which brings that inner peace and direction. Jonathan, our last scripture, 1 Peter 1:4-7.
To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, it is necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
So I love this scripture. We don't have time to really explain it, but it talks about an inheritance which is imperishable. It's undefiled. It won't fade away. It's reserved for heaven in you. You're protected by the power of God. It gives you all of this incredible positive benefit. But what has to happen is the heat of trial is what brings all that positive benefit.
We grow best through trial and difficulty.
Without trial and difficulty, it's hard. It's difficult to grow. So our experience as a Christian, folks, that's what it's about. It's to suffer for the sake of Christ. And again, suffering, to experience for the sake of Christ. All of this is so that we can have our characters changed into the likeness of Christ and not the likeness of ourselves. That's the key. Look in the mirror, see whose likeness you see, and then ask yourself, what am I going to do about that to change that likeness to be the likeness of Jesus Christ? For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we have truly enjoyed being with you today, and we will be back again next week with another subject. But today's subject is so incredibly important in our daily lives. Suffering for Christ. Having the privilege to suffer for His name. Folks, what are we doing to do that every day? Till next week. Learn to be a follower, a footstep follower of Christ. Think about it.